I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here on 103.9 WYAB, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is your nonpartisan safe space for independent thinkers out there. I think probably during the course of the last 4 years, a lot of people might have been disappointed when I came on air, not professing to be a Republican and carrying water for the Republican Party. I would imagine that attitude has changed significantly over that period of time. Maybe I was on to something to have understood the Republican Party is not as it has been billed. And holy cow, I got to tell you, I was watching, reading about Mitch McConnell's statements yesterday about the impeachment and the Capitol and Donald Trump. And Mitch McConnell essentially seemed to have driven a stake in the Republican Party, at least for the foreseeable future. They're going to have to do some real soul searching within the party to attract back tens of millions of probably pretty stalwart Republicans over the past several decades. So this is going to be an interesting thing to see how the Republican Party rebuilds as a third party come. Wouldn't it be great to see the Republican Party break into two parts, the Democrat Party break into two parts? Democrats got big problems themselves, too. They've got a progressive wing and they've got the establishment wing. You got the two old establishment wings of these parties that have been running the show for decades that people finally got fed up with. And the progressives want to go further to the left, and some people in the Republican Party want to go in a different direction than the establishment Republicans. I don't really even know what direction that is, because a lot of them are Trump supporters, but Trump wasn't farther to the right. He wasn't a conservative. He was a populist. But it was probably good for freedom and liberty if we had four or five parties, and if you split the Republicans into two and split the Democrats into two and had a Libertarian Party that could find its way out of a paper sack. Libertarian Party has just been a disaster as a party. Maybe throw the Green Party in there. Maybe the Constitution Party makes a run. It would be great to have six or seven parties vying for this and have a fractured Congress that has to build consensus across. It would be almost impossible for them to do anything, and that would be the goal. So we're going to see how that plays out next hour. I'm probably going to calm down because the first hour is going to be a little raucous. I'm not happy. Not at all happy today, but for a whole host of reasons. Number one, well, we'll get to that in a second. But next hour, I'll calm down with Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. Got a lot of plant-based meats coming our way. If your goal is to maybe cut down on meat, I'm a meat eater. But if you're looking to cut down on meat, there's some distinctions between the different brands of meat. And this might be the time to take a look and just make sure that you know exactly what it is that you're eating. So we're going to get to that and some other stuff, some new research around COVID, COVID stuff as well. So we'll get to all that next hour. But for today, well, we know what the main story is. Now, I am on keto. If you're familiar with the keto way of eating, I've decided I put a couple pounds of fat on me during 2020 in my emotional eating. I lay it pretty much at the pretzels and peanut butter that I would constantly eat. That's what I retreated to. That was my 2020 coping. I'm not a crackhead, but I really would jones for pretzels, and the pretzels were the problem, not so much the peanut butter. But anyway, I can't pop popcorn today because I'm still assured that before Joe Biden is inaugurated, that he is going to instead be arrested and hauled off to Gitmo along with the other 160,000 people who are going to be arrested at the last minute They say, pop your popcorn. So I can't do that because of my keto diet. So I'm going to roast some cauliflower and sit back and watch. This is going to be a look. It's not going to happen. It is just not going to happen. And, you know, here is my look. I've got kind of a long running. I don't know if I call it, I think the people who are the loyalists, who are the Q supporters, it's like, you have a feud with me. I don't have a feud with you. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm frustrated. It's kind of like your parents. I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed. Because you're mad at me because I have been narrating what I have seen over the last 4 years. And when I see things, I talk about them. I don't assume that something that I see that looks bad is somehow actually great. Now, we don't know why, but we're just assuming behind the scenes something is going on that makes the bad thing that I see actually something great. No, I just report what I see. And the people who have clung to this idea that behind the scenes the deep state was being broken up, you're clinging to a belief that has not produced fruit. At this point, it is more religion than it is an earthly truth. And I know it was comforting. Here is the difference, at least as I see it, between me and the people refusing to accept that Trump did not drain the swamp or clear out the corruption in Washington, D.C., and he did something on his way out that proves it. I'm willing to admit when I'm wrong. You know, I voted for Donald Trump in 2016. When he put 12 Goldman Sachs people in, when he started hiring Raytheon and Eli Lilly and, you know, started championing zero interest rates and negative interest rates, I mean, immediately I went, uh-oh, because I didn't fall in love with the guy. I said, oh, that's a little concerning to me. And so I became much more suspicious because that's the way the facts were taking me. And here's another one. And I did this the other day, too, and I'll continue to do it. And I'm just always ready to be wrong. Trump did not start a war with Iran. I was wrong about that because I really thought he would. Maybe the death of Sheldon Adelson saved us at the last minute. I don't know what it is. Trump did not start a war with Iran. Trump did not start any new wars. Now, he dropped record numbers of bombs, and he didn't get us out the way I wanted to see him get us out. But I guess the bar has been set now. We're just happy if somebody doesn't start any new wars. And I was wrong because I thought Donald Trump would start a war with Iran. I'm wrong. And a lot of lives will be saved by not doing that. So I am thrilled to be wrong. I'm not wrapped up in my ego. I'm ready to be wrong about anything. And that is the difference between me and the Q supporters and the people who have been telling me that there's a plan all along. You won't give it up. You just dig in deeper and deeper, and it's gotten a little insane. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Hey, Mike. This is, you know who, don't say my name?
Yeah, man. What's up?
I just want to congratulate. I want to congratulate all the people who disliked Trump tweets, who disliked his personality, and who just, gee whiz, jollicky juniper, wasn't doing enough for us. I want to thank all of you guys because, you know, you helped reveal who all the traitors to the Republic are, and they're pretty much every single politician on both sides.
Yeah, and it's been that way for forever.
So guess what? You know, the funny thing, they're like, oh, we should start a new party. Oh, yeah, that's great, since voting doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
So thanks for that, guys. Voting doesn't matter anymore. Thanks. We love you. Because the tweets were bad, right? Because the tweets were bad. So now instead of bad tweets, now you can't tweet.
Right.
Instead of, we didn't like his personality, you have someone with no personality.
It's going to be a disaster.
Sorry, man. I'm upset today, man. I'll let you go.
All right. I appreciate it. Thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, believe me, I am not at all happy with the with a Biden administration. I mean, and then this is the other problem. This is the thing I kind of fight on this show. My opinions are nuanced. See, I don't like politicians, and I don't like political parties, and I don't like Washington, D.C. being in charge of anything in my life. So if you decide to take the mantle of the presidency or a Congress critter or whatever it is, I'm already suspicious of you because they seem to kind of lay claim to a large chunk of my life, my income, you know, what we can say online, what I have to put on my face. There's just all kinds of, they're really in my life. So I'm immediately suspicious of people. Most people are out there looking for a savior. Now, I voted for Donald Trump in 2016 myself. He said a lot of great things and still said a lot of great things. And I'm going to do a show on Donald Trump, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because he did some good things. Definitely did some good things. And I'm just absolutely disgusted. I mean, I said the other day, you better start getting your local community in check. You know what I mean? It is time to batten down the hatches. We better start making sure Mississippi is not going to go along with everything a Biden administration wants them to go along with, because it's coming. This could be the worst administration. For me, it always comes down to personal freedom and independence from a federal government. That's always my, and this could be the worst ever. I think this could make Bill Clinton and Barack Obama look like pikers as far as the intrusiveness of a federal government who seeks to boss us around. I mean, with hate speech, I mean, there's no telling how long I'll be on the radio with what's coming down the pike. I'm terrified. But we have got to wake up and realize there are no saviors. There is no top-down solution to this thing. It wasn't Donald Trump, and he showed me that very early. Nobody else has seen that, and a lot of you will cling to that. Many people will continue to follow him. And I think that is a tragic mistake. Tragic mistake. But you're refusing to just say, well, I mean, at the very least, you know, here's how I look at my vote in 2016 for Donald Trump. It is, well, we took a shot. Didn't work out. Knew the odds were long. Be interesting along the way. But it just didn't work out. But that's not what most people will take from it. They'll say it was the most successful. We are less free now than we have ever been in this country, as far as I'm concerned, after 2020. Less free. The government is bigger than it's ever been. The globalists are richer than they've ever been. It wasn't just about Donald Trump being cheated out of the election. It is about the fruits of the first 4 years. Even if he was being re-inaugurated today, I'd be saying the same things. His first term got some good things done. Look, in the first week of the Trump administration, you know, I was sitting here 4 years ago today watching the television, laughing at the Clintons on the podium with him at the inauguration, really kind of a tad bit giddy. And I don't get giddy for politicians, but it was just really fun to see kind of the Clintons squirm on the up in the stands. But I am 4 years later now, and I have not seen any draining of the swamp. I have seen no stopping of the corruption, and we're about to get to that. Because the pardon's on the way out. I don't know how much of this list you've seen, and I'm sure there are some good ones. Obviously, the stories that you see are going to highlight some of the bad ones, but they're still bad. And there was two glaring omissions from Trump's pardon list that I warned you I was not going to be happy with. And so there are people still in exile and rotting in prison that you would think that a man who was dedicated to breaking apart the deep state and rooting out corruption might have set free. Instead, we've got some Democrat mega donors who just got a pardon. We're going to talk about it in just a second. Stay with me.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good, no bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I bailed you out when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
You know, the longer it got in the tooth to get the pardon list, the more suspicious I became. Because I knew, you know, it's kind of like news stories or when they do false flag events, they love to do that. Or, you know, politicians will drop something that's unpopular on a Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock. Because the news cycle, you know, people get busy with their own lives. Thankfully, people actually get out of politics. They go out and well, we used to go out and have fun with friends and, you know, go off and do things. That was before the medical martial law we've been under for the last year. But, you know, we used to do that. So on Fridays, they would drop unpopular things so that hopefully by Monday, everybody was not paying attention anymore and they could move on to something else. And so when this pardon list didn't come out, I thought, uh-oh, this is not going to be good, probably. Yesterday, I got news of this one, and this is the interesting thing. I mean, the twisting of logic into pretzels for the last 4 years on the right is what's been most astounding to me, to try to justify everything. We hate the Middle Eastern wars. We want our kids home. Well, except for Iran. We've got to stop paying for this empire. It's bankrupting us. Well, except for Venezuela. You know, there's always this asterisk there if you're led to believe that, you know, I've got this core belief that we should end all the foreign wars and bring our kids home. I was, and this is one of the reasons I voted for Donald Trump. But then when he would announce a new war, somehow you would twist your mind into a million different directions to think, well, yeah, all the other wars are bad, but this one must be good. I got to get on board with this one because he's on board with this one. So you just abandon all principle and jump onto the Iran war, the Venezuelan war, whatever it is. So this one's going to be interesting to see how how this one justified. President Trump on Tuesday commuted the prison sentence of Death Row Records co-founder Michael Harry O. Harris for attempted murder and cocaine trafficking, a friend who advocated for his release told the New York Post. Harris, 59, got word he'd been granted clemency at Federal Correctional Institution Lompoc in California. Said Weldon Angelos, who received his own pardon from Trump in December. The move came shortly after it was revealed that the rapper Snoop Dogg had secretly been lobbying the White House on behalf of Harris. Snoop's efforts came even though he's been an outspoken critic of Trump and even made a video in which he pretended to shoot a clown dressed as the president. Angelos, however, credited first daughter Ivanka Trump for Harris's impending release more than 7 years before it's scheduled to take place on June 13th, 2028. Now, I am pretty much on record for 4 years now explaining to you I am against the war on drugs. But the guy was sentenced for attempted murder, and Snoop Dogg got him out. Here was the one I had yesterday, too, that was just a rumor, and I didn't take it seriously because it was being reported by CNN. I mean, I have no faith in CNN. The media is massively corrupt. See, here's the thing, is that I agree with most people on most things, except for the hidden things that I was supposedly too dumb to see that were going on behind the scenes. This is where I've had an issue with people. But this story was out yesterday, and I just didn't even report it because I said, certainly, that's not going to come true. That's just CNN being CNN. But turns out it was true. Solomon Melgen, Democrat mega donor, who performed unnecessary, sometimes painful surgeries on elderly patients in the biggest Medicare fraud in history, quote, presented with specific corroborated allegations that defendant Menendez and Melgen had sex with underage prostitutes in the Dominican Republic. the government responsibly and dutifully. What that's saying is that that's kind of non sequitur there. But this Democrat mega donor, Solomon Melgen, who performed unnecessary, sometimes painful surgeries on elderly patients in the biggest Medicare fraud in history, pardoned. There was also allegations that they had sex with underage prostitutes. Well, they're not prostitutes and they're underage. They're sex trafficked kids. Pardoned. White House chief strategist Steve Bannon, as well as rappers Lil Wayne. And here was the biggie to me, and another one that just—it's just a head scratcher. But again, I don't have the secret decoder ring that everybody else has. Former Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick. And I'm going to read a little bit about him in just a second. Former top GOP fundraiser Elliot Brody, who pleaded guilty in October to acting as an unregistered foreign agent. There was a whole lot of people in here. I won't have time to get to them all. A whole lot of people in here that were, money laundering, bribery. A lot of political people. And the funny thing is that they're, a lot of them are Democrats. So I guess I should open up the phone lines for somebody to explain to me some of these pardons and explain to me how now with what we're seeing. And again, I'm ready. Joe Biden doesn't take office for another 2.5 hours. Maybe something's going to happen. But if it doesn't, and Joe Biden, how exactly did we drain the swamp by spending 4 years hiring them? I don't have the energy to go through the list again. I will say this, Goldman Sachs had a record-setting quarter in the fourth quarter of 2020. How do you fight the swamp or get credit for fighting the swamp, draining the swamp, when you spend 4 years hiring them and your last day pardoning them? We'll go through some of these pardons here and then the glaring omission of pardons with a couple of big names when I come back. Stay with me.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We're talking about the pardons a little bit. These are some head scratchers to me. Now I can hear it out there. All right, I read so much, and I read a lot of comment sections, and I talk to a lot of people, and so I can kind of get inside my head what objections to what I say will be. Because I know I'm a man on an island, largely, in many, many different topics. Not on a complete island. There's a lot of fellow travelers, but not in traditional red state type stuff where we're still, I think, kind of trapped in this idea that the government still knows better than us. It's just that we need to get the right people in charge of them. See, I'm out on an island saying, no, they don't know better. They don't. You're fully capable of running your own life. We need to be getting them out of our lives, not just hoping that our team controls this behemoth. But anyway. I don't subscribe to the idea, and as I say, I can kind of put up the arguments. Oh, look, every president does this. What about Bill Clinton doing Mark Rich? Yeah, if I was on the radio when Mark Rich had been pardoned, whew, that was almost a Freudian slip, wasn't it? I certainly would have been just blasting. I'll blast it right now. Bill Clinton, for all you Democrats out there, think he's a man of the people. God knows how much he got paid off to pardon Mark Rich. If you remember this story, I'm not going to spend any time getting into it, but you know, he pardoned a billionaire, a criminal. So I my understanding was that the bar for Donald Trump was different than everybody else. It's kind of like it never really resonated with me when I had a problem with Donald Trump and somebody would say, well, I guess you would have rather had Hillary. I'll say, no, of course not. The world is not black and white. I held Donald Trump up to a high standard. I hold every politician up to a very high standard, and they all come short because what I want is just freedom and for them to leave me alone and get out of my life. But I don't do this, well, everybody does it. If it's bad, it's bad. And I'm going to call it out. And some of these pardons are just, they're something else. And there was an executive order on Donald Trump's way out that I bet you most people don't know about. It is almost stunning. So we went through Lil Wayne. We got the guy for attempted murder and cocaine trafficking that Snoop Dogg lobbied for. Steve Bannon got a pardon. Now, I don't know if he pardoned the other guy who was in the build the wall thing. They're accused of stealing a bunch of money. Now, they're accused of stealing money from the wall for, you know, the people who donated to a crowdfunded thing to build the wall. The guy who started it and Steve Bannon are accused of stealing money from it. And everyone said, well, it's a frame-up job. But it's Trump's Justice Department that went after him. I don't know if he pardoned the other guy, so if we're going to have a trial. But Steve Bannon is a slimy guy. Now, he had some decent ideas, and he helped Donald Trump get elected. So there's that. But, you know, these people are – I mean, Steve Bannon's a former Goldman Sachs guy. You think his allegiance is to you? Here's another one of these things, a commutation for Shalom Weiss, who is believed to be serving the longest white-collar sentence in U.S. history, 835 years, for money laundering and other charges stemming from the failure of National Heritage Life Insurance Company. He fled while on bail and partied with prostitutes at a luxury hotel before authorities tracked him down in Austria. Now, his nephew says, quote, he regrets doing that. I mean, he cheated people out of just hundreds of millions of dollars, but he does regret fleeing trial and partying with a bunch of prostitutes. So pardoned or commuted. His sentence is commuted. These things are different, but for the brevity of the show here, these are people let off the hook. Pardon for Bannon, who was among a group of four Trump supporters accused last year of using money donated to the supposedly nonprofit We Built the Wall campaign for personal gain. Despite portraying the group as a volunteer effort, Bannon received more than $1 million and used some of it to pay personal expenses, prosecutors said. Bannon denied the charges. Here's another one of these. And again, I view this in the context of the swamp, right? Isn't this is what I voted for. See, these are the things that I was looking for. I was looking for not more business as usual in Washington, D.C. So when you say, well, they all pardon these kinds of people, that does not impress me. I voted to stop pardoning these kinds of people. See, the reason criminality continues in Washington, D.C. is because it's never prosecuted. I mean, what is to stop somebody from money laundering and bribing public officials if you never get in trouble for it? And with these cases that I'm reading through here, these are people who actually did get in trouble for it. They must have been really egregious. And so we just let them off. Pardon for Brody, a fundraiser for Trump and the Republican National Committee in 2016. This had to do with the 1MDB thing. This was the Malaysian scam that fleeced, you know, billions of dollars that Goldman Sachs paid some record fine for. Goldman Sachs was involved in it. Everybody skates. Everybody skates. This is one of the largest financial crimes in modern history. Everybody skates. Even Goldman Sachs paid a big fine, but nobody went to jail. I take that back. There may have been one guy in another country that went to jail as part of this, part of 1MDB. One of the largest financial crimes ever. It's just like Obama didn't prosecute any of the bank fraud, any of the stuff that went on in the financial crisis. Everybody believes that, you know, I watched this cult of personality with Barack Obama for 8 years. He's a man of the people. We got our first black president. And then he carried water for the biggest banks, and he ran interference with a bunch of deferred prosecution agreements, meaning yeah, just pay us some money and we won't put you in jail. So what do you think happens to Wall Street criminality? They sit in their boardrooms and they go, well, that's probably unethical, immoral, and possibly illegal, but yeah, if we get caught, we'll just pay a fine. We're going to make so much money, paying the fines will be easy. That's what Wall Street's been, and Barack Obama enabled it. Took more money from the big banks than John McCain or Mitt Romney in his campaign thing. But this one was the interesting one. Interesting as in a makes my stomach hurt interesting. Kwame Kilpatrick was convicted in 2013 on 24 counts of racketeering conspiracy, extortion, bribery, and tax evasion, and sentenced to 28 years in prison. He was the mayor of Detroit. From 2002 to 2008, prosecutors allege his corruption contributed to the city's bankruptcy 5 years after he left office. Commuted. No more prison time for this guy. I'm sure he's learned his lesson. And here's the Salomon Melgen guy, the Democrat mega donor. It's just the largest Medicare fraud in history. Commuted. Who else was in here? Here's a conditional pardon for Duke Cunningham, former congressman from California. And you know, some of these people are released from prison in 2013. They're out. It's like Jared Kushner's daddy. Jared Kushner's daddy got a pardon. No reason. He wasn't even serving any time anymore. He's a creep. He sent a prostitute over to his sister's husband and entrapped him and then sent the tape to his sister. Yeah, real high-functioning people that we need still in society, don't we? We want to make sure that they're rewarded real well. Jared Kushner's ditty. There's another one, a pardon for former Representative Rick Renzi, an Arizona Republican, 3 years in prison on corruption, money laundering, and other charges. I mean, so you talk about we want to drain the swamp. Washington, D.C. is just full of a bunch of corrupt people. This lobbying's out of control. And then you get the lobbyists who actually get caught with their fingers in the cookie jar, and you just wipe their sentences away. A pardon for Avim Sella, an Israeli indicted for espionage in connection with the Jonathan Pollard affair. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu requested Sella's pardon, the White House said in a statement. So there you go. I love this one. A pardon for former Intermune Chief Executive Officer W. Scott Harkonnen, who was convicted in 2000 of issuing a fraudulent press release touting a drug's success against a fatal lung disease. Yeah. More pump and dump stock stuff. I mean, this is the swamp. Trump spent 4 years fighting the swamp by hiring them, and on his way out, he pardons them. And listen to this thing. Listen to this one. You can shoot the messenger all you want. I don't care. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. Somebody's got to say it. Shortly after pardoning members of Congress and lobbyists convicted on corruption charges, President Trump revoked an executive order barring former officials from lobbying for 5 years after leaving his administration. This was part of draining the swamp, right? You can't lobby for 5 years when you leave. Now, there were all kinds of exceptions given to that. I watched that during 4 years. I talked about it on this show. Nobody cares. You still think he's draining the swamp. But he actually just went ahead, and instead of leaving this prohibition on lobbying, he just told all of his campaign people, oh, go back in as lobbyists. Go ahead. I'm going to get rid of that executive order. It was really just for show anyway. They gave so many waivers to it. This is the swamp. That's what the swamp is. It's people that float in and out of government through the revolving door and lobby for a little while, and then they come into the administrations, all of them, Republican and Democrat, do their little thing, like Alex Azar at Health and Human Services, who invoked the new liability protection for these so-called, air quotes here in the studio, vaccines. And he'll go back to the pharmaceutical industry as soon as he leaves tomorrow. That's what the swamp is. But when I come back, it's the two glaring omissions from the pardon list that have truly, truly got me disgusted. But there's a reason for it, Mike. Didn't you hear? There's a reason he couldn't pardon them. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I've been saying for at least the last week that Trump's pardons were going to speak a lot to me because it is, you know, there's certain things that that I share with people. You know, I didn't expect Trump to do everything that he campaigned on in 2016. That's just, there was no way. And I knew it would be messy if he tried, all these kinds of, there's a lot of places you face opposition. Here's where a president can just act unilaterally. He can end wars and bring all the troops home. He can just say, no, we're not fighting in Syria, in Libya, in Iraq, or Afghanistan anymore, and we're not going to participate in the bombing of Yemen. He could have done that unilaterally. I don't care. I mean, what, you think the media was going to be mean to him about it? Of course they were. The media is a bunch of warmongers, too. But they were mean to him anyway, so he could have done that. There were several things that he has under his complete control. That's one of them. As commander-in-chief, he could just end the wars, say, we're coming home. That's it. Every man, woman, and child leave Iraq. Not, we're going to take 500 and we're going to get them out of Iraq. We're going to put them in Syria to secure the oil, air quotes here in the studio. Now, he could have ended those things. And the other is the pardon. And Julian Assange will continue to rot in a prison. And the Biden administration, of course, will continue to go after him. They will take up Mike Pompeo's mantle of persecuting Julian Assange and slow killing him in prison. Same for Edward Snowden, who is an exile in Russia, the guy who told us point blank after James Clapper, the former head of the NSA, went in front of Congress, lied, just flat out lied that they were not collecting any data on Americans for all the world to see, which is a crime punishable by jail time. He was never prosecuted. He's a contributor to CNN right now, probably making $1 million a year from CNN. As a contributor, instead of going to jail for an obvious crime. Yet Edward Snowden wanted to let the American people know, James Clapper just lied to you. They are collecting all of your data, and he's exiled to Russia. But Julian Assange is the really bad one, because it's not only just Julian Assange, the one man. It is the message it sends to anybody who wants to expose government corruption. Do it at your own peril, because so far they've taken 10 years of Julian Assange's life. My understanding is Julian Assange is kind of a jerk. But for those of you out there talking about you want your First Amendment, the Silicon Valley is trying to take away your freedom of speech, Joe Biden's going to be terrible on the First Amendment. I'm with you, but you know what else is terrible for the First Amendment? Locking up a journalist for 10 years and slow killing him in prison. And Donald Trump whiffed when it came. But Mike, didn't you hear? Mitch McConnell told him that if he pardons Julian Assange, they'll prosecute him in the Senate for impeachment. So let me get this straight. Donald Trump, his administration, persecuted Julian Assange for 4 years, kept him in this prison for 4 years. And at the time, he finally had the chance to make that right. To some degree, I would still be just disgusted by the fact that he has been trying to extradite him and criminally charge him here in the United States. But at least at the last minute, he could have done the right thing. But for his own political future, what? Because he wasn't facing jail time from impeachment. It just meant he couldn't run again. When he's 78 years old in 2024. So in order to just keep open the window. We don't even know if he'll be a viable candidate in 2024. But just in order to keep open the window for maybe a possible future run for president, he decided to go ahead and let another human being rot and die in prison on his way out. Now, a lot of people out there disagree with me. Oh, Julian Assange is a traitor. Oh, you quit using that term because he's not an American, okay? But this says a lot to me. If you want to talk about somebody who wants to battle the deep state and expose the corruption and drain the swamp, you know who was working on doing that? Julian Assange. I mean, like, really doing it, like with his actions, not just his words. He didn't just talk about the corruption. No, he gave a platform to any whistleblower out there who wanted to actually blow the lid off the corruption. I guess we won't be seeing another person do that for any time soon, will we? Because the example has been set that not even that president who said he was going to drain the swamp, he won't even pardon Julian Assange. So there's no hope for you out there. And you can imagine how Joe Biden's administration is going to be on any whistleblowers or anybody who tries to. I mean, corruption hasn't even hit a speed bump in Washington, D.C. over the last 4 years. Not even a speed bump that I can see. And the few people who did hit that speed bump have just been pardoned. I've just given you a laundry list of white-collar criminals who are all donors to the political process that is the swamp. They're free as a bird now. Julian Assange, one of the few people who was actually... I mean, I don't know where you get this idea anymore. I mean, do you feel like... One of the things that really bugged me about Trump's farewell speech yesterday, and he laid out some things that he did that were good, and I'm going to go through those in detail because I'm no TDS person or whatever you want to accuse me of. He did some good things while he was in office, and I'll talk about them. But he did an awful lot in that thing yesterday. Kind of, I only listened to it once. I need to go back. But it really struck me a couple of times where he said he was successful in giving the government back to the American people, wrestling it away from the special interests and giving Americans control of their own government back. This was part of his farewell speech. I don't know about you. Do you feel like you have your government fully under control now? Do you feel like the last 4 years have really freed us and it's a sunnier day? Because I got to tell you, I just lived through a year in 2020 where I've never felt less free. I'm 53 years old. The government was not handed back to the people. The government is firmly in control and has always been in the control of special interests, lobbyists, and the insiders. As George Carlin said, it's a big club and we ain't in it. And that didn't change a lick. And the few people who fell out of favor with the club just got to rejoin with a lot of these pardons and commutations. Now, you can call in tomorrow. I'm going to move on to health show next hour. But you can call in tomorrow and explain to me. Give me the mental gymnastics. I'll stretch out before I come in here so that I'm ready to bend. And you can explain to me the rationale between white-collar criminals and corrupt people absolved and Julian Assange rotten in prison.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday. We may not have any control over what goes on in Washington, D.C., and the harebrained ideas they have for every nook and cranny of our lives, but we do have power over our own health, largely. Largely. You can make decisions every day to improve your health. So I do this segment every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock called Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use, where I try to empower people. Tell you this is the one little the one little thing so far that we can still control on a daily basis. Every time you walk into a grocery store, you can make the right decisions to reclaim your own personal health. It may be the only autonomy we have left. Take it while you can. I start off every show by explaining to you I am not a doctor, not a scientist, not a biologist, not an immunologist, not a virologist, not a surgeon, not a nurse, not a therapist. I'm absolutely nothing. I have no certifications to advise you on your health. I just try to give you some topics to look at, some news in the natural health world to convince you that you do not have to sit around and wait for the miracle pill or the miracle shot that you can protect yourself from diseases and debilitating conditions yourself. And it really doesn't even cost that much money. Last night, I'm doing keto again. I've talked about that probably a lot. Maybe you're sick of hearing about it, but I think it's a great way to lose weight. I like the way it makes my brain feel. I think it puts me in a pretty good mood, actually. So I'm cutting down on carbs. I was 2020 was probably my worst year dietarily in quite some time. Still better than 90-95% of Americans, but it was still off kilter for me. So I'm getting it back, and I'm going to do keto for a little while, which is a very high-fat, low-carb diet. If you're looking at losing some weight and it's appropriate for you, up to you. Do your own research. It's something you might want to consider. So last night I had fried eggs. I fry them kind of lightly so the yolk's still runny. I don't want to kill the egg. I want to make sure the nutrients are still intact, but I love eggs. I had a couple of eggs and some sausage, which you can have on a keto diet, high fat, some protein. And then I topped it with some sauteed garlic and organic mushrooms. Oh, I'm excited about dinner tonight because I'm going to have the exact same thing again. I'm telling you, eating good is good. You don't have to sacrifice anything. I'm not gnawing on a carrot tonight. Anyway, the Whole Foods CEO came out, and he was on a radio show, and I've got some quotes for him that really, you know, I wish, you know, this guy should be in charge of health and human services instead of an Eli Lilly executive. Whole Foods CEO John Mackey said Americans would not need health care if they ate better and lived healthier lives. Quote, I mean, honestly, we talk about health care. The best solution is to not need health care, unquote. That's what Mackey told Freakonomics Radio on November 4th. Quote, the best solution is to change the way people eat, the way they live, the lifestyle, and diet. There's no reason why people shouldn't be healthy and have a longer health span. A bunch of drugs is not going to solve the problem. He went on to say some other stuff here. Just listen to these statistics he dropped. 71%, this is him saying, quote, 71% of Americans are overweight and 42.5% are obese. Clearly, we are making bad choices in the way we eat, he said. It's not a sustainable path, and so I'm calling it out. I mean, you know, to me, this is such common sense, but isn't it amazing? This stuff is not discussed. And, you know, we look at COVID ravage our country. How many times have we got to hear, we're only 4.6% of the world's population? That may be off. Maybe we're 4.2. I can't remember. But we've got 20% of the COVID cases and blah, how many ever of the deaths. The reason we've got so many deaths in this country, not just during COVID time, but the vast majority of time, is because we eat for crap. And the lockdowns and restrictions have made the most obese nation in the world even more obese. And yet our health authorities are not explaining this. As a matter of fact, they're shutting down gyms and arresting paddle boarders who aren't wearing a face mask. This is so in our face obvious. And yet nobody seems to want to talk about the fact that we are making ourselves vulnerable. And again, I'm just going to quote this again. I should have made this a quote of the day today from the CEO of Whole Foods, Mackey. He said, I mean, honestly, we talk about healthcare. The solution is to not need healthcare. It's endlessly we hear healthcare is costing us too much. We got to fix the health insurance industry because we got to give people access to health insurance. So blah, 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 blah. Everything is about the dollars and access to healthcare and all that stuff. I haven't needed access to healthcare in 15 years now. Not a single doctor's appointment, not a nothing. Now, I may get hit by a bus this afternoon, and thank God we've got all the advances of fixing broken bones and putting together a truly physically broken body. But I'll tell you what, I don't need health care to make me move about day to day and feel good and keep my body weight in check. So anyway, it's words to live by. It's a shame that we don't have people in policy positions making those kinds of pronouncements. As a public service announcement here, I want to tell you the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Services published a warning late last week recalling millions of pepperoni hot pockets over concerns they may be contaminated with foreign objects. I would submit to you that even before this recall, that hot pockets are full of foreign objects anyway. But approximately, get this, 762,615 pounds of pepperoni hot pockets products, quote, may be contaminated with extraneous materials, specifically pieces of glass and hard plastic. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this stuff just in case you are a consumer of these things, and you can look this up. The recall applies to 54-ounce, 12-packs of pepperoni hot pockets with a best-by date of February of 2022. The hot pockets in question were produced from November 13th to 16th. According to the FSIS, the recall is considered a Class 1, which means, as described by the food agency, quote, this is a health hazard situation where there is a reasonable probability, it's not even possibility, probability that the use of the product will cause serious adverse health consequences or death. Now, I'll just tell you, if you've got a steady diet of Hot Pockets, then you are at serious risk of serious adverse health consequences and death anyway. Now, I was going to spend a little bit of time, and I pulled this up last night, did my research, pull up the ingredients of a Hot Pocket. This show is really against a lot of processed food. Do I ever eat processed food? Yep, I do, from time to time. And in 2020, got to say, I ate some things that had some ingredients I couldn't pronounce, and I almost always try to avoid doing that. But it happens. We're not all perfect. But I was going to spend some time reading the ingredients of Hot Pockets, but I couldn't pronounce most of the ingredients in those things anyway. So I thought we'd have a little bit of fun. This seems like a time in American history where maybe we should pause, reflect, and start laughing a little bit. So I thought this was a little bit more humorous take on the Hot Pocket.
I'm moving a little slow tonight. I had a Hot Pocket for dinner. Good to see I'm not the only white trash here. I buy the Hot Pockets. I go in grocery stores. I'm like, oh, I'll get these. I've never eaten a Hot Pocket and then afterwards been, I'm glad I ate that. I'm always like, I'm going to die. I paid for that? Did I eat it or rub it on my face? My back hurts. Ow. I was looking at a box of Hot Pockets. They have a warning printed on the side. It said, warning, you just bought Hot Pockets. I hope you're drunk or heading home to a trailer. You hillbilly, enjoy the next NASCAR event. Hot Pockets. I like NASCAR. He's a jerk. Never really see that on a menu when you go out to dinner. You know, let's see, I'll have the Caesar salad and the Hot Pocket. Tonight's specials, we have a sea bass, which is broiled, and we have a Hot Pocket, which is cooked in a dirty microwave. And that comes with a side of Pepto. Is your Hot Pocket cold in the middle? It's frozen. But it can be served boiling lava hot. Will it burn my mouth? It'll destroy your mouth. Everything will taste like rubber for a month. I'll have the Hot Pocket.
Hot Pocket!
Hot Pockets, yeah. They haven't been around that long, like 10 years. How'd they come up with that? Was there some kind of marketing meeting like, I got an idea. How about we fill a Pop-Tart with nasty meat? And you can cook it in a sleeve thing. You could dunk it in the toilet. There is the vegetarian Hot Pocket for those of us that don't want to eat meat but still would like diarrhea.
Hot Pocket.
It should just come with a roll of toilet paper.
Diarrhea Pocket.
You ever notice there's no dignified way to buy toilet paper? You always had to buy in that multi-pack of like 18 rolls. Stick it in your cart. Everyone in the store's like, does that guy ever leave the bathroom? What's he living off of Hot Pockets?
Hot Pocket.
There's the lean pocket. I don't even want to know what's in there. Imagine the directions. Take out of box, place directly in toilet.
Flush pocket. Pocket, 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 pocket.
Recently, they introduced the breakfast Hot Pocket, finally. I can't think of a better way to start the day. Good morning! You're about to call in sick.
Hot Pocket!
Now you can have a Hot Pocket for breakfast, a Hot Pocket for lunch, and be dead by dinner.
Pocket.
Do love that jingle. You think they worked hard on that song? What do you got so far, Bill?
Hot Pocket.
That's good. That's very good. Not as good as your Bi-Menon, but it's good. Now, what are we going to run in Mexico?
Caliente Pocket.
We've got a gift, my friend. Don't hide that in a bushel basket.
Hot Pocket.
I saw a commercial for a chicken pot pie Hot Pocket. Now they're just messing with us. Just a matter of time.
Have you tried the Hot Pocket, Hot Pocket? It's a Hot Pocket filled with a Hot Pocket.
Tastes just like a Hot Pocket. I'm gonna go and stick my head in the microwave.
Hot Pocket! He went crazy up there. I didn't know what he was doing at the end there. I thought he was on drugs or something. Very weird.
So that's the classic. It's Jim Gaffigan. I remember seeing that the first time and just being in tears. Look, I was a big consumer of Hot Pockets and everything related to a Hot Pocket, any kind of thing like that, for much of my early adult life. And I had chronic stomach problems and insomnia and restless leg, and I got sick every year, and I just couldn't figure it out. And the doctors never really asked me what I ate. And I remember just thinking, golly, it really stinks to get old. And then I got that stuff out of my life, and all of my conditions went away. I sleep fine, not sick at all. Stomach is just fit as a fiddle. Strangely enough, it kind of came back to the garbage I was shoving in my mouth. So anyway, thanks for indulging me in that. I thought we could all use at least a laugh. When we come back, I want to talk about, they're introducing a lot of meat substitutes these days. And I've been a little suspicious of this and reported on it a little bit, but I did find there's a distinction between the two brands that I think is important that people should know about if you're looking to do one of these vegetarian, they call them meats, but vegetarian things. That's fine. I'm not ever mad at a vegetarian or anybody who wants to maybe not eat as much meat. If that's your personal choice, that's perfectly fine. But there is a distinction between some of the different brands that are coming out that I think is important. We'll talk about it when we come back. Stay with me. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
One of the toughest things, almost the cruelest thing that I see in American nutritional advice are the head fakes. because a lot of people are concerned with their health. You notice that if you watched people, even before mask mandates, people were wearing masks. They were concerned about coronavirus. They truly do care about their health. And so many times we try to do the right thing, and we just don't understand it fully and understand that we're actually doing something wrong. The low-fat craze and trying to keep healthy fats out of your system for fear of it being fat, that was misguided science. And I've already talked about the bribe to the Harvard researchers back in the 60s that led us down that path. But it's sad to me to see people say, well, I don't want to get fat. I want to control my weight. I want to be healthy, so I'm going to eat low fat. And your body needs good, healthy fats. Diet sodas are another one. You're drinking this chemical cocktail that actually makes you crave carbs and has been linked to obesity and diabetes in a diet drink. So when I see somebody purchasing diet drinks, I realize, well, they're trying to do something. They're worried about their weight. They want to maintain a healthy weight. The problem is they just don't know the rest of the science to understand, oh, this isn't helping me at all. It's actually hurting me. And so I want to call attention to those kinds of things. Another thing some people might do, that I'm a meat eater. I've researched vegetarianism, veganism, and it doesn't make sense to me. I think it misses some things. I think a plant-based diet, eating more good organic, that's very important for a lot of things. Again, you can go to Environmental Working Group. It's EWG, Dirty Dozen. You can get this app for your phone, and it will just show you what's really important to buy organic, because you don't want to get the pesticides and the herbicides into your system. Some things don't matter as much, and so you can get the regular stuff. But things like apples, I haven't bought a non-organic apple in 15 years now. I love a good organic apple. It means it just doesn't have the junk on it. A lot of people will be switching towards replacing meat. And the reason that this kind of came to my attention was I saw a story this past week in what appears to be Taco Bell's unconventional answer to McDonald's bringing back the crispy chicken sandwich. The Mexican-inspired fast food giant has introduced several popular vegetarian options, including a partnership with Beyond Meat that it hopes will entice more millennial and Gen Z customers. So there is this push. Let me tell you another push real quick as an aside. They are going to be getting us to eat bugs soon. I'm just telling you, I am seeing this trend coming. And I would imagine to most people, you recoil at the idea. I'll admit that I kind of wince a little bit when I think about that. Cultures around the world have been eating bugs and things for forever. And I'll tell you right now, I don't know what the farming terms are for crickets or any of these things. A good wild-caught cricket is probably more healthy than about 90% of the stuff that's in the grocery stores. But still, I have a resistance to any crunchy insects. But it's coming. Trust me. I'm seeing all these headlines about bug farms opening up. I hear the big people at the World Economic Forum or some of these big global basically, they're setting us up. They're telling us that, cows fart too much, so we got to start eating maggots. I mean, seriously, this is where it's headed. So just be on a lookout for that. I didn't have that in my notes. It just struck me as I was talking. But there is this push towards plant-based substitutes for meat. So there are two big names in this space, Beyond Meat and Impossible Burger. Now, what I just read to you is it is Beyond Meat is partnering with Taco Bell. So I wanted to look because what I see and have read a lot about is the danger in these meat substitutes is if you're taking a vegetable and turning it into some kind of a meat substitute protein, it depends on what the process for getting there. And one of the big things that I've seen reported on these things is the glyphosate in some of these things. Glyphosate is the active ingredient in Roundup. It is something I talk about a lot here when you talk about GMOs. Genetically modified foods are modified so they can withstand things like glyphosate, these weed killers, so they can just blanket spray the crops, and this herbicide gets all over the food, and it never always comes off. Doesn't matter how much you clean it or whatever else. A lot of GMO corn out there. Americans are getting a ton of this glyphosate herbicide in us. And so I'm on guard for that with anything that's related to fruits and vegetables. And if you're making a meat substitute out of vegetables, then we need to pay attention to the glyphosate levels. What I found in my research just this past week is there is a difference, apparently, at least according to what I came up with here. I got this from some information on Beyond Meat and Impossible Burger. This one says, furthering Beyond Meat's commitment to transparency and simple ingredients, the plant-based category leader has announced the completion of a rigorous one-year review process to secure non-GMO verification from the Non-GMO Project's Product Verification Program, North America's only third-party verification for non-GMO foods. Quote, this is what Beyond Meat says, quote, our goal is to be on the center of the plate for the entire family, says Ethan Brown, founder and CEO of Beyond Meat. Quote, and we believe the best way to serve the family is through a commitment to all natural, non-GMO ingredients when building meat directly from plants. Though these tough guardrails make it harder for our scientists, we feel it is the right long-run decision for Beyond Meat and our customers. So, Beyond Meat, and this is what Taco Bell is saying. Now, I'm not telling you, oh, go to Taco Bell. There's some health food over there at Taco Bell. Look, you know, Taco Bell's got some very tasty stuff. No knock on Taco Bell, but I'm not telling anybody you're going to Taco Bell to get a vitamin or anything. But Taco Bell has partnered with a company that is non-GMO. Now, the interesting thing about that in a non-GMO Beyond Meat taco, I assume they're putting this in tacos or whatever else, I haven't researched it, but I would imagine the corn tortillas that they use at Taco Bell, most corn is genetically modified and does usually contain some traces of this glyphosate. So you may be eating GMO shell around non-GMO meat. So, nah, you know. But as far as if you're just making a decision to buy one of these plant-based meats, Beyond Meat has made a commitment to not use GMO, which means you're not going to be consuming this glyphosate. Now, Impossible Burger is the other big brand. And I got this, this is from centerforfoodsafety.org. One popular name in this space is the Impossible Burger, a product first featured in 2017 when Freedom of Information Act documents uncovered that the FDA disagreed with the company's safety assessments of the burger's main ingredient, soy leghemoglobin. And I believe this is what makes the Impossible Burger look like it bleeds when you cook it. However, the company continued selling it. This is after the FDA disagreed with the company's safety assessments. The company continued selling it to the public anyhow without informing consumers about the FDA's very serious concerns. The issue this time around with the Impossible Burger is the amount of glyphosate it contains. According to Moms Across America, who had a product tested at Health Research Institute Laboratories, the levels of glyphosate were 11 times that of the Beyond Meat burger, and a total result, glyphosate and its metabolite, AMPA, came in at 11.3 parts per billion. So, from this information, now, this was done in 2017. I don't know, and I read a lot of stuff, but I'll definitely miss things. I don't know if Impossible Burger has made any changes to this to move to non-GMO. But apparently Beyond Meat has made a commitment to the non-GMO project that they will not use GMO stuff, thereby reducing or eliminating glyphosate in their plant-based meat. Should I air quote that in the studio here, meat? I'm not sure. Anyway, so when you're deciding between the two, it does seem that there may be a difference. I'm not angry at anybody who's vegan or vegetarian, and I wouldn't certainly be angry at anybody who's a vegan or a vegetarian that likes the texture or the taste of meat, so you're searching for something that tastes like meat. I saw a commercial with a kid the other day about, I think it's one of the sausage brands. It's, I'm a kid, and if I like it, it must be great. And it gives like a sausage biscuit to the adult. I'll have to research the brand and see what they're using in there. But when you're trying to make, just like diet drinks are not serving you, low-fat diet. Now, healthy fats, not a bunch of fried chicken. Healthy fats are good for you, so a low-fat diet that excludes healthy fats is not helping you. Make sure that if you're making the choice for a plant-based meat, you're doing a little bit of research to find out it's not loaded up with chemicals, and in particular, glyphosate, which is very destructive to your gut bacteria, which is responsible for a whole lot of good things in your body when you let the good bacteria thrive there. So anyway, there you go. According to the research that I have in front of me here, Beyond Meat is a thumbs up. Impossible Burger, doesn't look like they're really caring too much about the glyphosate. Do your own research. Thought I'd throw it in there for you. I'll be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and we're doing Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use like we do every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock to empower you to take control of your own health. And I've never seen a time in American history more important to take control of your own health than right now during COVID. I've had great exception of health authorities constantly coming out, teasing us with vaccines for a long time, telling us to run for our lives and stay locked in our homes instead of giving you any empowering, proactive things that you could do. And I ran across this news report. This is from a local Fox affiliate. Not even sure where, doesn't really even matter. But this is how every single news conference around COVID should have gone. Instead of just this idea that it's going to kill us all and you have to wait it out in your house.
We've learned a lot the past year about how to fight COVID-19, and now the latest studies backed by medical science show an arsenal in your medicine cabinet might make a big difference in the simple form of vitamins. We get all types of medical tests to evaluate everything from blood pressure to cholesterol. After dozens of studies have recently shown the importance of vitamin D when fighting COVID-19, Dr. Peter Osborne with Origins Nutrition Center suggests you consider a blood test to check your vitamin levels.
I think that's probably one of the smartest things that a person could do right now. With an unpredictable, relatively unknown illness, what we do know at this point about vitamin therapy, particularly about vitamin D, a new study has come out and a new analysis has come out on what we know about vitamin D and COVID so far. And here's what we know. People with low vitamin D who get COVID have a greater tendency toward dying, have a greater tendency toward hyperinflammation in the cytokine storm that comes with COVID, and have a greater tendency toward getting on ventilators, which are very bad because ventilators don't work very well. They're when a person's on a ventilator with COVID, it's not a good thing. So the outcomes aren't great. So if we can keep people off of ventilators, if we can keep people uninflamed, we can keep their immune system supported really well with nutrition. Ideally, that makes the most sense.
Dr. Osborne says the most recent studies show that 9 out of 10 COVID deaths could be prevented if people had adequate vitamin D levels.
Okay, did you hear that statistic? Now, this is the guy's opinion, but it has shown that I believe 82% of people who are hospitalized for COVID-19 have subpar vitamin D levels. 82%. And so what this doctor is saying is he believes that 9 out of 10 deaths could have been prevented with vitamin D, proper vitamin D levels. When you look at the numbers of deaths that they are reporting, ask yourself, why hasn't Anthony Fauci been touting vitamin D all along? Now, look, we've learned more about COVID over the year, right? They didn't know this. Vitamin D, there were no bad side effects to it. Do you know how much vitamin D costs me to take? And I take a lot. You know how much it costs me a month? $5. $5 a month. And even if vitamin D wasn't good against COVID, which we kind of all knew it was because it's just really good for your immune system, there's a whole host of other benefits. So I would have spent that $5 to get a whole host of other benefits, and then we could have figured, this is just my big aggravation with the medical system and the fact they do not empower you. 9 out of 10 deaths could have been prevented. So the statistic that is showing us 400,000 people have died of COVID, and believe me, I'm not down with that statistic, but that's what they're using. What would life have been like over the last year if it had only been 40,000?
Vitamin D in our bodies often goes down in the wintertime because fewer people are outside and not soaking it all up from the sun. You need at least 20 minutes of sunlight every day to get an adequate amount, which is why a supplement is often needed to get to that healthy level. Some hospitals around the country are even using vitamins as a treatment for COVID,
yes,
not just prevention.
Yes.
A lot of doctors are now learning this and coming out and saying things about this. The East Virginia School of Medicine actually has a COVID protocol that includes vitamin D. So if you're a patient that gets hospitalized for COVID, they're automatically putting you between 20,000 and 60,000 units of vitamin D. This is part of their standard of care protocol in that hospital system.
Dr. Osborne believes vitamin D is one of the most simple and affordable ways to stay healthy.
Vitamin D, very inexpensive. You can buy it at the local nutrition store. And it might just save your life should you get sick.
That's huge. What do you suggest to your patients? How much are you wanting them to take per day? You talked about the protocols of once you're in the hospital, but what about on a daily basis, vitamin B or vitamin C and D?
So we're trying to be preventative, and we want to use preventative measures to hopefully put the odds in our favor from one, not getting sick, and two, if we do get sick, to minimize the strength of the illness.
Now, I just got to stop and point this out. These are the preventative, proactive measures that basically all Americans could have been on for the last 9 or 10 months if this had ever entered the sphere of conversation. We haven't heard it from Thomas Dobbs. We haven't heard it from Anthony Fauci. We haven't heard it from the mainstream media. There's nothing about prevention except stay in your home, wear the mask, wash your hands, run away from grandma. And yet this $5 treatment per month could have given you the peace of mind that I've had. Personally, I take somewhere between 5 and 10,000 IUs a day of vitamin D. Do your own research as to what you take, how much you take. But I got to tell you, I've been doing this now for 15 years, and I haven't had a sick day, not a single sick day in 15 years. I would imagine it's helping somewhere along the line.
So with vitamin D, there's a therapy that can be done that I recommend, and it's 1,000 international units of vitamin D per pound. So if you're 100 pounds, you would take 100,000 international units of vitamin D for 3 days. After that, you don't have to keep taking those higher doses, but 3 days of high-dose vitamin D will elevate your serum vitamin D levels to adequate levels.
Dr. Osborne encourages everyone to think of fighting COVID naturally as a four-pronged approach using 4 different supplements.
Number one is vitamin D. Get your levels up. And you can also ask your doctor to test your levels, a very easy blood test. Number two, vitamin C. We know it's working well. There have been some studies on COVID where vitamin C has shown to have very good benefits in the outcome of illness. Number three, zinc. Zinc stops viral replication multiple ways. So it prevents the virus from hijacking your DNA. It prevents the virus from replicating. It also prevents the virus from entering the cell. So zinc, very important right now.
Some hospitals are treating COVID with all 4 of those supplements. Dr. Osborne says these are the ones to focus on to cover your bases nutritionally.
And there you go. So when you rack up all 4 of those supplements, you're talking about maybe $20 a month. That's, what, 2 streaming services? 4 coffees from one of the big coffee chains? That's the cost that could have saved, according to him. Now, this is one guy's opinion, but I do know the statistics are 82% of people hospitalized for COVID. I think it's 82.6% of people have been lacking in vitamin D that have been hospitalized for COVID. So for $20 a month, all Americans could have been instructed to go out there and prophylactically protect themselves and boost their immune systems while a virus is going across the country. But we don't do that. Instead, we destroy millions and millions of lives, overreacting and wrecking, just wrecking society for a year. Instead of telling Americans, hey, for $20, I would have been in favor. I'm not a big government guy, but the government doling out vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc would have been an improvement over what they did. It's shocking to me. It's so good to hear that hospitals are using these treatments, that this is getting into mainstream medicine. I hope they remember this and do it again. I'll be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424. Final segment for today's Hump Day Health. If you ever want to hear anything you want to research further or you want to replay anything I've got, you can always get the podcast on Apple Podcast or go to themikemadisonshow.podbean.com or you can email me, mikemadison@wyab.com. I'll send you my show notes. It's got the links to everything I do so you can see the source material and then again, go off and do your own research. I will be labeled, you know, by a lot of people as some kind of an anti-vaxxer. The new vaccines that are out for coronavirus. I am not that, but I am pro-informed consent. And I think that one of the things lacking in what we're seeing in this new round of what they're calling vaccines, I won't get into that, but this does not fit the definition, traditional definition of a vaccine, is that people are not being told of any downsides. All we hear is safe and effective, but this is a brand new technology. Writing in the International Journal of Clinical Practice, Timothy Cardozo of NYU's Langone Health and Ronald Veazey with the Tulane University School of Medicine noted, quote, patient comprehension is a critical part of meeting medical ethics standards of informed consent in study designs. As such, they set out to determine if enough research existed to require clinicians to disclose the specific risk that COVID-19 vaccines could worsen disease if the recipient is exposed to circulating virus. First, they reviewed preclinical and clinical evidence, which revealed that ADE, and this is the antibody-dependent enhancement, ADE is a significant concern in this vaccine. What this means is you'll get a good antibody reaction from these mRNA vaccines, but when you there is evidence that shows that if you're exposed to COVID in the wild, it could cause a problem. I'm going to play a quick clip. I think I got time for it. This is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. explaining the ferret study.
In 2002, we had a natural outbreak of SARS, which is a COVID vaccine, a COVID virus. And then shortly after that, we had two more epidemics, and those were lab-created. That's uncontroversial. Everybody, you know, accepts that. And Chinese, the Americans, the Europeans all got together and said, we need to develop a vaccine against coronavirus. So around 2012, they had about 30 vaccines that looked promising. They took the four best of those, the best of class, and they made vaccines from them. They manufactured the vaccines, and they gave those vaccines to ferrets, which are the closest analogy when you're looking at lung infections to human beings. And the ferrets had a had an extraordinarily good antibody response. And that is the metric by which FDA licenses vaccine. You know, vaccines, as you know, are never tested in the field. They never give 5,000 people a vaccine, 5,000 people a placebo vaccine, and then go out, tell them, go out and, you know, live life, and then go and watch what happens to those people. That never happens. The way the vaccines get licensed is that FDA gives people the vaccines, or that the industry gives them the vaccines, and then they look at, they do a serological response, and they see, did you develop in your blood antibodies to that target virus? And so the ferrets developed very strong antibodies. So they thought, the scientists thought, we hit the jackpot. All four of these vaccines, I think there were three RNA vaccines and one spike protein vaccine, and all of them worked like a charm. Then something terrible happened. Those ferrets were then exposed to the wild virus, and essentially they all died. Body-wide inflammation in all their organs, and their lungs stopped functioning, and they died. Then those scientists remembered that the same thing had happened in the 1960s when they looked and when they tried to develop an RSV vaccine, which is upper respiratory illness, very similar to coronavirus. At the time, they did not test it on animals. They went right to human testing. They tested it on, I think, about 35 children, and the same thing happened. The children developed a champion antibody response, robust, durable. It looked perfect. And then the children were exposed to the wild virus, and they all became sick, and two of them died. They abandoned the vaccine.
So there are studies out there showing that these kinds of things, this is why we have not had a vaccine for coronavirus for quite a while. Look, I'm not here to tell anybody to take a vaccine or not take a vaccine. What these researchers at the NYU Langone Health and the Tulane University School of Medicine said is there are concerns that people should just be informed of. Then you make your decision. Some people are vulnerable to coronavirus, and you may say, okay, well, that's a risk I'm willing to accept because I'm more scared of COVID. It's called informed consent. The problem is we don't have all the facts, and these things aren't coming out mainstream media, so they come out on the Mike Madison Show. That's all the time I got. See you next time. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how